We're talking about who's on the throne of your life, and you just sang a song that's beautiful to sing, but is it reality in our lives? I just want to look at that last stanza. It says, all of my longings, all of my dreams, Jesus is Lord of all. All of my failures, his power redeems. Jesus is Lord of all. Are all of your longings and all of your dreams wrapped up in your relationship with Jesus Christ? Is he really on the throne of your life? And that's what we want to talk about today, because it's so important for us to understand Jesus doesn't want to just be Lord in your mind. He wants to be Lord in your heart. He wants to rule over your mind, your will, and your emotions. He really does want it all. So if you have your Bibles, or you can see it up on the screen, either one, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, we're going to be talking about the Lord and the flesh, the Spirit and the flesh. And if you'll stand, we'll honor God as we read his word together. So I say, walk by the Spirit, heirs of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. So they are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. So, Father, today as we look at who's on the throne of our heart, Lord, help us to be brutally honest with ourselves. Help us to be brutally honest with you. Lord, you tell us that you are the way and the truth and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through you. Lord, we desire to walk this life with our Heavenly Father. We desire you to be Lord of our lives. Father, if we examine our own heart today, and we look at ourselves and we ask the question, is the Spirit ruling in my heart? Or is my flesh still rising up, demanding its own? Father, work in us now, and we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' holy name, amen. You may be seated. Some of you saw the 2008 powerful Christian film, Fireproof. And I don't know how many saw Fireproof. Anybody besides me? Okay. Fireproof was a wonderful Christian story put up by Sherwood Baptist Church. Part of their ministry is making movies, and they do a wonderful job. But the movie Fireproof was one of the top 10 all-time Christian movies ever seen. And if you haven't seen it, I would just advise you to try to get a copy. They're pretty cheap. You can get them at Christian book distributors, I think, for about 10 bucks. But it's just an excellent, excellent movie. And Fireproof chronicled the life of fireman Caleb Holt. It looked at his life, and it looked at his marriage. And Caleb Holt was just an average guy, like most average guys in our country. He was all caught up with his own dreams, his own ambitions, his own way, and he was in the midst of a terrible marriage. But then something happened to Caleb Holt. His dad introduced him to Jesus Christ. And when the Lord came in to Caleb Holt's life, the light went on. And Caleb was filled with love and hope and joy. And he wanted to share that in the worst way with his wife, who he was not getting along with at all prior to that. But she was having no part of it. Some of you maybe have experienced something similar to that in your own life, but Caleb really thought, now that I'm walking with the Lord, now that he's Lord of my life, there'll be no more trouble. I'll be able to control myself. I'll be able to be a blessing to my wife and future children. Everything's going to be perfect. But then Caleb came to the realization that there was a battle going on inside even himself, not just with his wife, in himself. He now had the Spirit of God ruling and reigning, but there was a war on the inside. Because before he came to faith, Caleb Holt had the same habit I had before I came to faith. He was into pornography big time. Everything he did was all wrapped around his pornography. And all at once, that came up again. Now he's got the Lord as his Savior, and yet sin dwelled in him because he was born of Adam. And we're going to talk about that more in just a minute. But because of that, there was a struggle. He wanted to do right, but he couldn't find the power to do right. It was there all the time. It was right in him, the power, but he wasn't tapping into it. Maybe you have the same thing that Caleb had. Maybe you're here today and you're saved, but you're struggling against sin. The Holy Spirit's going to tell you, if you're his child, he's going to tell you, that thing, and if you're into pornography, just like he did to me, that thing is offensive to me. I was 25 when I came to Christ, and I was thoroughly wrapped up in pornography. And the first thing the Holy Spirit told me was, Jerry, you've got to start memorizing scripture that deals with pornography. And so I did. Every time I read in the Bible, and I was so hungry for the Bible when I got saved, I could not get enough. Every spare minute was reading, 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 because I just wanted to fill myself with the truth. Every time I came across a verse, and there's thousands of verses, believe it or not, dealing with pornography. And you might say, well, why is that so many? Because man is so wrapped up in it. It's part of us. It's part of our flesh. And as I memorized those verses, when the next temptation would come, I would do the same thing my Lord did in the garden when Satan tempted him. I would quote him those scriptures. Do you know if you stand for the truth that Satan has to flee? The Bible says there's a way to do this thing. First, we submit ourselves to God, then we resist the devil, and then he has to flee. But there has to come that submission first. And when you do that, when you learn his word, and you say, Lord, I'm not just learning your word so that I can win the prize at Sunday school for the most memorized verses. I'm memorizing your word because I really want to do your will. And when you get those verses, that's power in your life. And that's what Caleb had to do. That's what you're going to have to do. That's what I had to do. When will the battle be over? A young seminarian asked his teacher, who was in his late 70s. He said, why do I struggle so much with this sin? Why is pornography such a power in my life? When is this going to be over? And the old boy thought for a minute. He said, you know, I don't know. Because why? Because he was still dealing with it. There's not a man on this earth or a woman on this earth that doesn't deal with this thing. It'll go away for a while as you memorize and meditate and you do what's right. It'll go away and it'll get a little dormant for a while. But don't think it's done. It's going to come back again. And then you're going to want to remember those verses and remember the dedication to the Lord, because it is a battle. So why is it so hard? Why is it so hard to say no to sexual immorality? Why is it so hard to control your temper when things are jostling your life? Why is it so hard and such a struggle not to get jealous when somebody else is talking to the one that you love? Why is it so hard to not get bitter at someone who does something that they knew was wrong to do and you knew was wrong to do to you? It's because of the flesh. Why is it so hard to live a Christian life? Because you still have the flesh within you. And it's so important. The Bible tells us the answer to the question. And God has so much that he wants to share with you and I today. As we'll go into his word, listen to his word, and seek with all our heart. The Bible says you'll seek and find God when you seek him with how much of your heart? All. not part. If you're here today and you're thinking to yourself, well, I'm in church, I'm doing good, I checked my box, I came and I'm faithful, and okay, I'll listen to the message, but I hope he's done at noon. Man, I got to get out of here. The Methodists are going to beat us to the Big Mac McDonald's here. If you come in with that attitude, nothing's going to happen today. But if you come in here hungry, wanting to know God, wanting to know how to get victory in your life over the flesh, because you are going to struggle with it all the days of your life, today's message is for you. I want to read again Galatians 5, verses 16 through 26, because this is the foundation we're going off from. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what's contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what's contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. As our Lord instructs us here, the passage in Galatians 5 gives us wisdom and insight into how to win our spiritual battles. Anybody here think you're going to win every spiritual battle? No. And it's not because the power is not there. Because if you would walk in the Spirit all the days of your life, you would have victory. But I don't know anybody that walks in the Spirit all the time. Walking in the Spirit simply means that God is in control of every thought, every word, every action that I do. Nobody that I know, except for the Lord Jesus Christ, and I know him quite well. So the eternal struggle that goes on, at least internal struggle, not eternal, because I'm glad it's going to be done one of these days. I'm 76, so within probably 20 years, I'm not going to struggle with my sinful nature anymore. But until then, I have an internal struggle for control of my life. The Christian life is hard to live because of the ongoing internal battle for control. The Spirit of God, which comes into me the second I receive Christ as Savior, wants to be Lord. But the sinful nature that I inherited from my great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather Adam and grandmother Eve also wants to control my life. That's the flesh. So it's pretty shaky. Christ, the person that dominated by the thing called the Bible tells us about Jesus Christ that he wants to dominate your life. He really wants to be in charge of every thought, every word, and every action that we have. And the more we can give in to him and his leadership, the more successful our lives are going to be. However, every single person born into this world was born in Adam and Eve's image. Very important thing to know is that Genesis is the foundation of all the truth given in all the rest of the Bible. And the Bible says when God created Adam and Eve, he made them in what image? In his image. However, Adam and Eve fell into sin. And then after they fell into sin, they lost that relationship with the Lord. They were dead spiritually. And then they began to have children. The interesting thing is the Bible doesn't say those children were made in the image of God. It says they were made in the image of Adam himself. Adam was dead spiritually. Folks, what does that mean for you and I? That means prior to being born again through faith in Jesus Christ, we were dead spiritually. We were in Adam. The only nature we had was Adam's nature, which is what? I'm going to choose how I live, and I'm going to live for me. This is my life. That was what Adam and Eve decided when Eve took that forbidden fruit. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 4, it says, "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Folks, Satan is a liar. Satan is still lying. He hasn't stopped one bit. Satan is telling our young people, boy, if you'll just take some of those drugs, you're going to get so high, you're going to be so happy, you just won't understand. It's really cool. Folks, that's a lie. He's going to destroy your life. He told Eve, God knows the minute you eat of it, you're going to be like God, knowing good and evil. Let me ask you, when Eve ate of it, did she become like God? She knew good and evil, but what she really knew was the pain that the evil caused. That's what she got. But Satan is a master fisherman. Satan baits the hook. Folks, he's still baiting the hook. And he wants to get you. The part of them that died that day was that relationship with the living God. God in them. And that died. In Romans chapter 8, verse 5, it says, those who live according to the flesh, that's the Adamic nature, have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh, I want to do what I want to do, is death. The mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. I hear so many people tell me I'm a Christian. Do you attend church at all? Well, no, I haven't attended any church in a long time. Do you pray? Well, no, I don't pray. Do you thank the Lord for all that you have? Well, no, I earned that. Folks, so many people are calling themselves Christians who are not Christians. They may go to a Lutheran church, a Baptist church, a Presbyterian church, or a Catholic church. They may pray, they may do some things, but if you're not born again, Jesus said, unless you're born again, you'll never see the kingdom of God. And Jesus wasn't just talking about heaven. Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. That's where it's at. If the Lord is Lord and he's in you, he's already in charge. He's already calling your shots. He's blessing you and using you. But unfortunately, the natural man, in 1 Corinthians 2:14, it talks about the Adamic man. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they discern only through the Spirit. If a person is not born again, he cannot or she cannot understand the things of God. And even for a person to be saved, Jesus said, unless the Father draws you, you can't come to the Son. And Jesus said, unless the Son reveals the Father, you can't know the Father. And so it's so important for us to understand this. When a person receives Christ, the Holy Spirit enters that person, and now he wants to be in control. He wants to control you. In Ephesians 1:13, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Now, Jesus Christ is living in you if you receive Christ through the person of the Holy Spirit, and he wants to direct your life. In Romans chapter 10, he tells us exactly how you come to that saving faith. And if you haven't done this, you are not saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, you're confessing him as your Lord. Not just that he's Lord out there, but now he's your Lord. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth you profess your faith and are saved. When you declare him Lord with all your heart, you have to crown him Lord. If you don't do that, you're not saved. Period. Now the problem comes after you declared him Lord. Now the problem is living that out day by day. And that's where the flesh rises up again. Just because you proclaim him Lord, positionally, he is now your Lord. If you have declared that in your heart, he is your Lord. You do have eternal life. You are going to go to heaven, but the battle's on. This is when the gloves come off. Before you were a Christian, I know before I was a Christian, I felt a little bit bad about the stuff I was doing, but it was okay. I didn't mind too bad. But man, after I became a Christian, I used to take the Lord's name in vain all the time. I swore like a fish. I was into pornography. I was into all kinds of things. Before I received Christ, there was no battle. It was just, that's the way everybody lives. That's cool. But after I received the Lord and I heard somebody take my Lord's name in vain, man, that hurt. When that first time afterwards, I saw a pornographic magazine on one of the guy's desk, and I went like this. The battle was on because the flesh was still there. We don't get rid of the fleshly nature when we receive Christ. We can subdue it through Christ's power, but it's always going to be there. The battle is on. In Colossians 1:13, it says, he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now that we're in Christ, we're sealed by the Holy Spirit, we have been redeemed, but now you really start to struggle. Now you do exactly what Caleb Holt did. You realize, even though positionally I've been crucified with Christ, Paul said what? Nevertheless, I live. Oh, man. And in my body, I have the flesh. And the flesh wants what the flesh wants. It doesn't go away. That means what? That means every day I have to crucify myself again. Jesus Christ took up the cross one time for sin. That was it. That's all it needed. But for me to live a godly life, I have to die over and over and over to my own sinful nature. And the battle's not going to be over till my life on this earth is done. The Adamic nature, you got yourself on the throne. And people, even Christians, who live a fleshly life, who will not struggle with that, who will not profess the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord, and live it out daily, have constant struggle in their life. It's always a fight. You know, the wonderful thing is when you really receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and you determine, I'm bound determined, I'm going to live for his glory, I'm going to fight this fight. Once you decide, I'm not going to practice sin anymore, sin will leave you alone for long periods of time. The desires won't be as strong, but if you keep feeding that, if you keep doing those things, that's never going to go away. And it's going to demand more and more and more in order to satisfy its own lust. In Galatians 5:16 again, here's the promise. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. We think we become a Christian, now I can do what I want. No, you can't. Because now you're not in charge anymore. You have a Lord, and he wants to be your Lord. He wants you to think about him every time you make any decision. Lord, is this what you would have? Not what I would have, because I love bait. I'm always on the hook because I keep falling down. But the more we trust in the Lord, guess what? We don't take the bait. Is the bait still beautiful? Yes, the bait is desirable. But we say no. You know, the first thing that the Bible teaches us is to say no to ungodliness and worldly lust. It's the first thing. As soon as I got saved, nobody had to read me portions of Scripture to let me know I'm not supposed to live that way anymore. The Holy Spirit revealed that to me. You have to stand up. You have to be the man or woman of God to say no. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You can serve whoever you want to, but me and my house, we're going to walk with the Lord. And you have to come to that decision in your heart. So what does the flesh want? The flesh wants to satisfy itself. What does the flesh want? When it comes to food, we're going to get out of here in a little while, about another hour and 20. No, maybe probably not. But when you get out of here, have you ever gone to the Golden Corral really hungry? The Golden Corral is a great restaurant. I don't know how many enjoy it, but it's a great restaurant because once you pay that price, you can have all the food and all the drink you want. And you can eat yourself almost sick. And the whole time you're eating, man, is it good. Oh, man, this is great. But you know the Bible says sin is pleasant for what? Just a season. One season. How about when you go to bed that night after you've been to the Golden Corral and you ate everything you could possibly eat? Is sleep sweet? I get hot and I can't hardly breathe, let alone sleep. Folks, food is good. The Bible says he's given us richly all things to enjoy. But gluttony is not good. Gluttony will get you right away. Sleep is good. But laziness, sleeping hour after hour, wasting your life, is not good. So everything within the limits of what God made it for is good. But as soon as we step out of God's limits for ourselves, we're taking bait that seems pleasant for a while, but it's going to destroy everything that we want. In Philippians 3:18, for as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as the enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so they'll be like his glorious body. Folks, you have to have that hope in you all the time. Jesus Christ could come at any second, and our troubles and trials on this earth will be over like that. I'll never struggle with sin again. And the Bible says, if you desire his coming, if you keep your eye on the fact that Jesus Christ could come at any time, it'll help you live a godly life. We need to be those that are looking for our Lord. There's nothing wrong with sex in marriage, but there's something terribly wrong with any kind of sexual progress that's made outside of one man and one woman for life. I know that's not what our kids are being taught in school today. I understand that. That's why I told you, I really don't think I could send my kids to a public school today. I don't. Because they're being taught that they evolved, they were not created, They're being taught that there is no God, that they make their own choices, there is no right and there is no wrong, and all that is 180 degrees contrary to what God said. And I don't know about you, I do not want my children or my grandchildren learning things that are absolutely contrary to the Word of God, because it'll mess up their minds. Why do you think suicide is so prevalent among children today? It's because they have no purpose for life. They believe this is all there is. And anything goes wrong, the least little thing, I don't want to live like this. Folks, if you believe there is a God that created you in His image and that He loves you and that you're going to live forever with Him, I've got a purpose. I've got meaning. I've got life. It's so important for us to come to that. All the flesh wants to say is, hey, it's your thing. Do what you want to do. Satan loves that when we live that way, because we self-destruct. We destroy our marriages. We destroy our children. We destroy our hope. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is Lord God Almighty, your Creator and your Savior, and He wants you to live for His glory. In John 16, verse 13, it says, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He'll guide you into all the truth. He'll not speak on His own. He'll speak only what He hears, and He'll tell you what is yet to come. Do you know the Holy Spirit never tries to glorify Himself? He says He will glorify me, because it's from me that you'll receive what He will make known to you. When your life is lived for your glory, for your pleasure, for your honor, you're walking in the flesh. When your life is lived for God's glory, for God's honor, for God's hope, you're living in the Spirit. We have to get past ourselves. Flesh says, no, 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 it's all about me. The Holy Spirit says, no, it's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about your relationship with Him. Is it growing? Is it moving forward? The Apostle Paul, talking about his own life, said this in Galatians 2:20. He said, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now, folks, Paul was crucified with Christ the moment he received Him as Savior. But in order to live under Christ, in order to have Him be Lord of our lives, we have to die daily. This is not a one-time thing. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes in, I'm saved, that's finished. But this idea of sanctification, this idea of walking in fellowship with my Lord, is an everyday, every minute decision. Because I can remember walking into work when I worked at Saginaw Steering Gear, walking into work full of joy, full of peace, full of hope, and within 15 minutes of getting into work, it was all gone. And you wonder, how in the world is that possible? It's possible because Satan puts bait out there, and we're foolish enough, even as Christians, to keep taking the bait. I mentioned in Sunday school today, Jacob, when he heard that Joseph was, thought he was dead at least, he was having a famine in the land, and Jacob said, all this is against me. That's the way we get. We think it's all against us, but it's not. It's all for us. The Lord takes the troubles, the sorrows, the hardships, the joys, and all of it together. He mixes it together for something absolutely wonderful. We have to trust Him in those down times. In Galatians 5:24, it says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. But it's not a one-time deal. And that's where the trouble comes in. We all wish it was a one-time deal. I'm never going to look at pornography again. I'm never going to look at a woman in the wrong way again. That's it. Wouldn't that be nice? But that's not the way it works. Because you have Adam's nature. and it's not going to die until you physically put off this body. In the meantime, it's not only I have been crucified with Christ, I'm continuing to be crucified with Christ. It's a lifetime journey. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, it says, "For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore." Now, if it's already a done deal, if I've been crucified with Christ, then why do I have to put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature? Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourself, if it's a done deal, why do I have to keep trying this? Now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Folks, we have a battle, and it's going to last all the days of our life. I hope you're not done memorizing Scripture. I hope you're saying, when you see something welling up in your life that you know full well is displeasing to your Father, I hope you're saying to yourself, I've got to find Scripture to fight this thing with. The Scriptures are our only offensive weapon. It's what Jesus Christ used. He wants you to hide his word in your heart. When you're reading through your Bible, and I hope you are every day, when you're reading and a verse jumps right out at you, and every once in a while it does, that's a verse you need to memorize. Because you may not be facing that battle today, but you are going to face that battle. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He warns us in advance. You've got a battle coming. You've got to get ready. Hiding God's word is one of the very best ways to do it. It's not easy, but you can walk in the Spirit more than you are. Let's just say every year you only added 5% more of obedience to the Lord. Every year, it doesn't sound like much, but let's see, 20 years, how much is that? That's 100%. Now, we can't do that. I don't want to get you to the point you think, well, if I just add a little bit, I'm going to be perfect. You're not going to be perfect till you're home. And so the battle is ongoing. I've got two verses that I would advise you to memorize. Jot them down if you want to. Maybe you've already got them memorized. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. These are verses you need to know. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. What would have happened to Adam and Eve when Satan tempted Eve if she said, "No, I believe my God. I trust my God. He said, if I eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, I'm going to die. Satan, serpent, I'm not listening to you. I'm going to listen to my Lord." We wouldn't have the trouble we got. Folks, the next time temptation hits you, trust in what God said. Don't lean to your own understanding. Don't lean to anybody else's understanding. Because the Bible says, if you put man's opinion above God's opinion, you're under a curse. It'll ruin you. It'll ruin your life. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. Acknowledge him what? He's Lord. I'm not. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will do what? He'll direct your path. And then the other verse is Psalm 84, verse 11. "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless." Folks, you've got to get that into your mind, get it into your heart so you believe it. Because every bit of bait that Satan uses is telling you God's holding out the best. He's not going to give it to you. You got to take it. Folks, it's a lie. The Lord has given you everything you need for life and godliness. And that's all we need. I can't encourage you enough. Hide those verses away. Because I don't care how old you are. The battle goes until you pass this life. You need to have the Word of God. It's a battle you can't win in yourself. It's a battle that all the will you've got, you can put all your willpower, you're going to lose. But if you trust in God, you're going to win. Father, bless us today. Help us to submit ourselves to our God. Lord, work in our hearts and our lives. Help us to be, as your word says in Romans chapter 8, more than conquerors. We have that ability through Christ. Lord, help us to live up to what you've called us to. And Father, we're going to give you the praise. In Jesus Christ's holy name, amen.